AFK discussion starts now. Welcome back to another AFK Discussions, your home for the paranormal. Guys, we've got a really good show tonight. Before I get into it, I always want to tell you guys, go check out our sponsor. That is FatTac, fattac.com for all your tactical needs. If you're a big dude like me and you want to carry like appendix for your gun, because, you know, we live in Tennessee and Tennessee is, you know, everyone can carry. It's like the Wild West out here. So, yeah. FatTac.com for all your tactical needs. Also, guys, like, follow, share, hit the bell icon, the little, you know, thumbs up, all that. You know the drill. So, guys, I'm going to turn it over to my guest right now. Hold on. The name of your podcast just slipped my mind. Paranormal, what is it?
Paranormal Patrol.
For some reason, I don't know what I was thinking. Okay. So, guys, I'm going to turn over to my guest right now, Paranormal Patrol. Guys, tell me a little bit about what you do. And I know you have a podcast and you're investigators. Let me just pick somebody. Brad, I talked to you first on here. I'm going to start off with you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what got you into all this.
Right. So I've been with Paranormal Patrol for about 2 years now. I'm the newer one on the team, but I've been in the field for about 15 years. I've had a few paranormal teams. I ran my own team for a while, and then I went solo until I met Jason, Nancy, Jen, and Iacona. And, you know, we've been hitting it hard since. And I love the paranormal. It's just it's a place where I feel, you know, free. I feel good. I love being out there. I love catching spirits. So, yeah, we have a good time when we go out.
Awesome, man. So, Frank, Nancy, I'm going to turn it over to you guys. What about what got you into this? And I guess a little bit about your backgrounds. I'm assuming you're a couple, right? So, I'm assuming. No, you're not. Okay. I'll cut that out. Huh? Mistress?
We're a couple, been together almost 30 years now. So we've had our 26-year wedding anniversary. So we've known each other since we were, 18-year-old kids, literally known her longer in my life than without knowing her in my life. So, I grew up in a haunted house. I have kind of the common stories that a lot of people do when they grow up in a situation like that. Objects moving in the house mimic. So the spirit will mimic the voice of someone that frequents the house or lives inside the house. Seeing a full apparition, objects disappearing and then turning up 2 weeks later in the exact same spot you thought that they were. So I grew up around it, and it caused, kind of some issues. A lot of nightmares came from that. A lot of scary nights came from that, because when you're a kid growing up in a haunted house where there are things happening that you just cannot explain. And back then it wasn't really talked about. It was one of those things where, no, that you're crazy. It's the pipes in the wall. It's the house settling. There's nothing going on. So it's one of those things that's a journey that a lot of people take alone, unfortunately, until I would say, I think around the 90s is when paranormal investigation and people freely talking about the paranormal started to become more into the main light. And so as I, finally moved out of the house, of course, Nancy and I were just starting our life together at that point. I always wanted to start paranormal investigating, jump back into that world. And a lot of it was to answer my own questions as to what was it that was haunting me for so many years, haunting my family for so many years. What is going on out there? And so as far as the group goes, Jason, as Brad mentioned, Jason is the one that actually started the group. I've known Jason for about 20 years now. Jason contacted me. We used to work together, and he said, "Hey, I want to start a paranormal group. You and I have always spoken about it. What do you think?" And I said, "Absolutely, let's do it." We quickly asked Jen to join us. I've known Jen for 25 years. I've known her for a very long time. We also used to work together as well. she immediately jumped on, and of course Nancy jumped in right with us. And when we started, the focus of the group was really going to be about us wanting to learn more about the supernatural and us learning how to become paranormal investigators. Mm-hmm. We were only going for a few months until we met Brad, and then us kind of being new to it just completely went out the window because Brad comes in with 15 years of experience. So we're like, okay, now we have somebody who actually knows what they're doing, somebody that actually has equipment, somebody that can help keep us safe, somebody that can, you know, share some of his site locations with us and really help launch us. And so, you know, since then, there's, like I said, there's five of us on the team, and we have some people that frequent with us that'll go out to, you know, site to site with us. And, you know, it's been about 2.5 years now, I think, that the group has been formed. We do a podcast where we talk about and share our stories and the sites that we go to. So it's been quite the journey so far.
That's awesome, man. So something you said really resonated with me, because we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I grew up in a haunted house also. And I had some, you know, that's what drew me to the supernatural. It waking up at night with this like blacker than black sort of ball entity hovering above your head, like for the better part of my high school career, is just terrifying. I don't know what it looked like, a ball of smoke, and every night I'd wake up and it would be there, and it got to the point where I would like swat at it and get mad, and it would like disappear into the corner of my room. It was almost nightly. It was the craziest thing. And my friends had seen spectral dogs walk through the door into my room and stuff. I mean, just bizarre stuff, man. So,
in curiosity, how long were you in that house, or do you still have access to that house?
I do not. My parents passed away about 3 years ago, so I sold the house since then. But we grew up on that property. It had been in my family for, at least two generations. I think my great-great-grandfather built the initial house there, and we tore that house down and built a house where it was. So it was a weird place, man. So
I bet you're glad to get rid of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of miss it, you know, miss the land, because, you know, it, you know, it's family history, but, you know, I don't miss being there. I mean, even like whenever my kids, you know, we'd go visit my parents, you know, their grandparents, and I would go up to my old room, you know, because I still had a bunch of crap there. I was a only child, so I had like G.I. Joes and stuff there that I had kept, and I'd bring and let my son play with them when we would go visit. And going in there, I just felt so uncomfortable, even like, you know, into my 30s, you know, I was terrified, you know.
I can relate.
Yeah. But guys, so what got you into podcasting? Because I know the investigation come first or the podcasting come first?
Actually, the idea came together at the very beginning. The idea was to investigate and start a podcast. So,
so
it was all just blended together. We didn't start one without the other. They were both just, you know, joined at the hip when it started. Yeah. So, we spent about 5 or 6 months just preparing a studio, preparing equipment, learning software, kind of going over what worked, what didn't work. And before we ever did our first investigation, which started with just Iacona, myself, and Jennifer going down to the Crescent Hotel for a conference. And we thought we'll go down there, get around some people that have been doing this for a while, you know, kind of learn the ins and outs, maybe get some tips and tricks to get us started. And then we came back and recorded our first episode, and that was a disaster. We recorded it again and a little bit better. And it wasn't until about the sixth time that we got the first episode that we're like, okay, this is, you know, something that we can work with. So no, it was from the beginning, that was the plan, was to investigate and do a podcast.
That's pretty cool, man. Now I was, you know, looking through your Instagram and checking out some of the videos you have of the podcast. And the you had this really good ambiance. You have these chairs set up, and it's kind of dark in the room. And I thought that was really cool. I like that.
I appreciate that. I wish Jen was here to take some of the credit for that. She's the one that actually prepares the studio and manages the way that it looks, and then the software that goes with it. She's put a lot of time into it, and we're actually very happy the way that's turned out. We think it looks great too. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Looks really good. Yeah. So you guys sent me a lot of like EVPs and stuff to talk about. Before we get into that, I kind of want to talk because, like I told you beforehand, and I, you know, every people who are familiar with the show, I like to go in dry and listen to your guys' stories before I watch them or get any preconceived notions, you know, because I really like to hear from you guys what you think the best investigations, I guess, or the most interesting things you have ever found while investigating. I kind of, Brad hasn't talked in a while. I'm going to start off and I'm going to ask you, what do you think is the best evidence you've ever collected? I mean, it doesn't have to be with this group. It could be beforehand, right. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, it was with, my current team, team before this. And we'll be sharing that piece tonight. It's got a cool journey with the way, you know, I caught it back in like 2016. And then us going back and me being reintroduced to the location again and doing some stuff. And we eventually find out that we caught the same spirit. Yeah, everything was just, you know, adding up for us. And yeah, I mean, this location, you know, everybody says I got like a connection to it, you know, it's my go-to spot. It's a spot I've known for years. I don't like telling the location, but it's a very, very active location, and kind of the history. It was a poor farm back in the Civil War, you know. So all the all the mothers, you know, and the children couldn't raised the family no more because the men were out at the war. They all went to this poor farm and they just lived and, you know, in this society, you know, and they grew their own food. They ate there. They had their own doctor on staff. So they end up burying their own dead, the people that died there at the poor farm. They buried them right in the back. And then through the years, it turned into like the town's doctor, you know. And then that went down like in the 50s, and it went into a nursing home. And then it's been like out of commission for since like late 60s. So I caught on to this location probably around 2015, and yeah, it just blew me away. I mean, the place is a disaster, right? You're not like, don't picture like a old historical mansion. No, it's ran down, you know. It's very dangerous, you know. But I push the limits, you know. I go in places that probably shouldn't be going into. I go all the way to the top floor where we caught, you know, the best piece that I've ever caught, ever. And yeah, it's just I've been physically touched there. I mean, these spirits, they know me. I've been called out. So it's just a connection I have, you know, and it's a place that I know I can always go to. I can always hunt, you know. Nobody knows about it, you know. It's a spot I just go and get some great evidence because it's very active.
That's awesome, man. So, Frank, Nancy, same question for you. What do you think the best evidence you've ever caught is?
Yeah, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a place called the River Scene. I feel like I really opened myself up to allow the things to happen to me, whereas I feel like I'm open-minded, but I really feel closed off. But for some reason, that place just, I must have just allowed my guards just to come down completely. I was touched multiple times. My hair was played with. My name was called. For me, it was probably by far the most active for me on a personal note.
As far as me, I'd say as a group, we have been very fortunate that a lot of the places that we have gone to, we have been able to get quite a bit of activity, and that's uncommon. It's more common to go somewhere and nothing happened as opposed to our group being able to go out and stir some stuff up. Now, there have been places that that hasn't happened, but there are so many good pieces of evidence that we have been able to capture over the last couple of years. It's hard to kind of narrow it down, but the two that we'll be, you know, sharing tonight, or the two that I wanted to share tonight, was the first time that I had a spirit actually say my name. Brad and I were back investigating a room, and that kind of blew my mind when you actually hear something that you cannot see, but actually your name gets said. And the one we got just a few weeks ago, we took a road trip up to Iowa, and we'll talk about that one. But to me, that is one of the clearest and longest EVPs that we've captured. And the reason why I like EVPs so much is because there are ways that you can debunk a lot of evidence out there. If somebody's using a REM pod, is somebody have a walkie-talkie nearby? Or if someone has an EMF reader, you know, is it really picking something up? But when you actually capture an EVP and you are listening to a voice, and you were there, so you know the voice was not audible to your ears, but yet the tape recorder or your digital recorder is picking it up, to me, that is solid evidence that there is some type of spirit that is communicating with you. And that's why the EVPs actually just blow my mind. So the ones that we're going to share tonight, those are the ones I'm pretty proud of. The place that probably gave me the biggest chills, where I went in as a skeptic and left going, okay, this place is not only very haunted, but very dark, was probably the Sally House up in Atchison, Kansas.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I know all about the Sally House. Yeah.
Yeah, I went in truly as a skeptic, thinking this house is bogus. I went in going, feeling fine. There's nothing here. This house has just been overdone. It's a gimmick. And after about 7 or 8 hours, I was like, hey, Brad, are we good? Are we done? I'm ready to go. This house has been letting us know that it is alive. There is something going on here. And I was ready to leave.
So that's very interesting. So actually, the group I had on last week, they said when they went to the Sally House, they had nothing happened to them. Yep. So I was very surprised when they said they had nothing happen, you know. So,
but don't you remember when we went back in, when I remember would have been what, 2010? We went with a group and they were doing like tours or whatever, and we had a lady fall down the steps. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other girls that were in front of us took a picture in a window, and there was a demon like that came out, and like I was like hovering over her shoulder. I was like, what did she see? It was like a demon, like a full-on demon face. And the lady said when she fell down the steps, that she had tennis shoes on, by the way.
Yeah,
she said that it felt like someone hit her leg out from underneath her so hard that her tennis shoe flew off.
Gosh, that's and crazy.
That's mm-hmm. why I'm surprised that you didn't, like, I would have fully expected for things to happen at the Sally House. But
my belief is that there is a doorway, and that door isn't open at all times. Mm-hmm. So you can go into the Sally House and have an experience, because for whatever reason, that gateway was open. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was already open when you got there. Maybe we did something to open that gateway, but I believe that it's not constantly open. And one thing that I've learned on our investigations, this is just my own opinion, the more people you have, the less activity that there is going to be. I feel as though when you go in with a smaller group, especially a place that does not get hit very often, you're liable to get more activity than kind of these more renowned places. And if you go in with a large group, 20, 30 people, we haven't had the best luck in those scenarios, but it doesn't surprise me at all that one group goes in and says, yeah, we were crazy activity all night. And a week later, another group goes, we didn't have nothing. Yeah. I believe that there's doorways and they're open or they're closed.
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially with Sally House, it had a reputation, like, well known. I would say global, you know. So can you imagine how many people went in there with bad intentions, you know? And can you imagine what they've done and the doorways they've opened? And I totally agree with what he's saying. I mean, people have probably done that to themselves, and now we're stuck with investigating there, and you don't know what you're going to get, you know, because – I've investigated it 3 times, and the first time I caught an EVP, and it was saying, I was saying, who's here with me? And they said Beelzebub. And if you don't know what Beelzebub is, Google it, because that is not, you know, that's some crazy shit, everything.
Oh, yeah, dude. Definitely.
That is wild.
For sure.
But but like I try to tell like my group, going back to, you know, EVPs being a really good form of evidence, it's a great way to gauge your like get a sense of the investigation, you know. And the way I investigate, I don't turn a recorder on and I don't leave it on for 9 hours, right? I do short 45 seconds to a minute EVP sessions. I figure out anything here or not. I might do that 50 times, you know, in a row. Nothing happens, and then boom, something happens. We figure out what it is. We're able to hit that right then and there. So, you know, some people say I'm losing out on a lot of stuff. You know, hey, I might be, but, you know, it's the way I investigate, and I've been trying to get them to, you know, do it like that too, because it helps, you know, kind of get a feel of what we're dealing with. Okay, you know, we're getting this activity. Let's hit it like this. Let's, you know, so, yeah, it's a great piece. It's a great tool to, you know, for your investigations.
Oh, yeah, man. So, I mean, this the whole portal thing is, I mean, it's so, it's such a big thing, because I think it encompasses more than just, like, spirits. I mean, like, I think, I strongly believe that, like, you know, the cryptid creatures, a lot of them are like portal jumpers, I guess, if you lack of a better word. Just because, you know, there's so many things of like footsteps, like saying like the, you know, the Bigfoot phenomenon, their footsteps, and then they just disappear. I mean, where do they go? You know, I mean, going to a portal, that makes sense to me. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Confessionals podcast, but I'm pretty good friends with Tony Merkel. I actually work for Merkel Media on the side. I do some editing and stuff. So I'm, there's a lot of stuff that he's told me about portals that, you know, that's not shared publicly, that it just, I mean, it just blows my mind. Some of the stuff that has, you know, came across his desk that is just mind blowing. So.
Yeah.
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 But, I'm trying to think. Is there like a location, like, because I know you said you're from like the Kansas City area. Is there a location locally that you guys like kind of like investigate a lot? Like there's some place that you guys just keep going back to and getting more and more evidence, or you guys just travel more? Is that if that comes off correctly, I'm trying to.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Like a home, a home haunt. I don't know.
Yeah.
A place that you would call your, this is our investigation spot, you know?
Yeah. So season two, we have an episode called The Infamous Farmhouse, right? It's a spot we can hit anytime we want. You know, it's a local spot. You know, we've tried to steer away to, you know, doing the same thing over and over, but, you know, sometimes it has to happen, you know, because of the type of activity we get, you know. But, you know, I would say, you know, not for us, but I'll say Sally House is something that everybody hits around this area. All the Kansas City teams, you know, they're all going to the Sally House. But as our team, no, I would say the Infamous Farmhouse is probably our go-to spot that, hey, you guys want to go Friday? Cool. You want to go Saturday? Cool. Like, it's our spot. Nobody knows about it. We can go, you know, it's a free spot. You know, it's our little secret, you know, and it's very active. So, yeah, that's probably our go-to spot.
That's cool.
Yeah, we do try to mix it up, when, especially with running a podcast. I think you might lose some interest if you say, hey, for the 10th time, we've gone to Lansing Penitentiary. You know, it's like, oh, they went there again? Like, whatever. So we do... For our viewers' entertainment, but also for our own, because one of the things I love about investigating the supernatural is it's usually always around historic places, and I love learning about the history of some of these places almost as much as investigating the spirits or the energy that may be left behind. So we always try to expand our horizons, look at new places, learn a little bit more about history. We've seen some fantastic things, met some wonderful people along the way. So
yeah, that's, I mean, history is one of the things that, I mean, it just... You can get absorbed yourself in, because, I mean, there's a tangible something that happened to this place that you can research and find out, you know, the history behind it, that, you know, like the whole residual haunting. Maybe, you know, the woman of white, she's been waiting for her husband to come home from the war. And, you know, Every night she would walk across the balcony to stand at the top of the stairs and wait for her husband to come home. And, you know, that history and, you know, that that's why that residual haunting's there, because it, you know, she did it every night for, you know, while she was living. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. You know, that's just one of the cool things about this. And also you're talking about meeting people. That's another thing I love about, you know, doing this podcast is meeting people and, you know, sharing experiences and getting to know people all around the country. Cause that's just something that, I mean, cause if you talk to people in, this in the paranormal supernatural, you know, we all are pretty like-minded, and it's just really cool to sit down with people and just make friends, you know, because that's one thing that, I can take away is I've made, you know, so many friends. Like if this podcast never, you know, amounts to anything, at least I've made some friends along the way, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You've done something that you have wanted to do. To me, a successful life is a person that does what lives a life that they want. So doing something that you're interested in is leading, you know, a successful life. And I love the people that we meet because they're like-minded in the sense of that there is something more going on. And when you were talking about the portals, I mean, I'm all ears. I wanted to hear more. And I know your friend had told you some things that he doesn't talk about, but I'm interested in that. I truly am, because I believe that there are doorways, there are windows, whatever it is that you want to call them. And part of our journey is just trying to learn a little bit more about what is going on beyond our world.
Yeah.
And one thing I've noticed about being a paranormal investigator is as we come across and meet people that we've never met before, maybe they're not into the paranormal at all, or we're just meeting them for the first time. I would say about 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10. As soon as you say, oh, we also do some paranormal investigating, 8 or 9 out of 10 will go, oh my God, tell me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that 1 out of 10 that goes, that's nice. So how was your weekend? They just want to change the subject and, you know, not talk about it. But the vast majority of people, would you say?
It's much more acceptable now, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, whereas in, I would even say 10 years ago, I don't feel like it was anywhere near as acceptable to be talking about these things. And I think it was just kind of, I don't know why it was such a secret, because I don't really know, but it just made people, I think it's the uncomfortable, the unknown is the uncomfortable. Whereas we run into it, people run away from it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, I think that portals like very much so. I'm like thinking like, I wonder if we can travel, like time travel, you know, there has to be.
Yeah. I mean, the time travel thing, I've always
act to be younger. Yeah.
that's one thing I've always, you know, thought about. Time travel is just something that,
yeah.
I mean, if you, like, I've tried to wrap my head around, like, different ways. I mean, there was this movie. I don't know if you guys, it was, I don't know how old you are. I think it was the late 80s or something. But it was kind of like a, I want to say Tom Selleck was in it. Like, you know, he was big in the late 80s. It was some movie. He would, like, play this tape recorder as he slept and listen to, like, this old recording of, like, one of his relatives or something. And eventually he taught himself how to, you know, transfer his mind to his younger self or something like that. And it was, I mean, that I was like, that. Yeah, but that, I mean, that's just like one of these, I mean, maybe that sounds more feasible. I mean, like something.
Right.
Like
that, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks to Tom Selleck. Yeah. I actually got an autographed picture of Tom Selleck and gave to my art teacher and got an A. Without having to do any work. She was a huge Tom Selleck fan. But so shout out to her.
The best part was when you signed your name to your picture and sent it to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I autographed a picture and sent it back
to Tom. Did you really? Selleck. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I did. Yeah. And those horrible middle school pictures that you got back then. Yeah. I autographed it. He actually replied and said, thanks for the photo.
That's funny.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm really wanting to figure out what the name of this movie was. But guys, so let's start talking about these EVPs and stuff you sent me, because I really want to know the context behind, because I've listened to some of them and I'm like really want to know the stories behind what is going on in these EVPs and videos.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'll start off. So okay. So back in 2017. Me and my old partner, we went to the farmhouse, and it was just, you know, just me and him. And we get to the upstairs, and we just start, you know, right when we walked in the room, like, you can tell the temperature changed, you know, goosebumps started happening. So quickly, you know, I started running, you know, getting a lot of my equipment going. And then my buddy goes, you know, man, I'm starting to feel it, you know, and that's where the EVP picks up. And it'll probably help more if we play it, and then I can explain what's okay. going on. Yeah, so we'll play.
What's the title of this one?
So this one, it might be the Brad, maybe Fender Bender. Tell me the ones that
there's that Fender I think Bender. You're,
okay, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Fender Bender. Yep, let's okay. do that.
Okay, let me open this up. Okay, I'm going to have to heavily edit this. Okay, so window, media player, boom, share. Okay, hopefully this works because sometimes it has issues. If we can't hear this, just let me know and I'll try something.
Yeah.
But I think I got to figure it out. Okay, here we go.
All right. So there's a lot there, right? Yeah. So you hear me saying, oh, no, man, I'm starting to feel it, right? And then right after I say that, a female comes in. All right. So you're listening to for a female that comes in the background, and she goes, are you here from the Fender Bender? All right. And then right after she says that, You hear a male spirit coming through saying, shoot her. Mm. And then at the end, you hear my meter go off. And that's that little screeching at the end, right? So you have me walking in the room, or me and my old partner walking into the room. We're acknowledging we're feeling something, right? And then we catch a female coming through asking us, are you here from the Fender Bender? Which makes me think, okay, maybe she worked at the town clinic. She was the doctor's nurse, something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then right after that, we have a male coming through saying, shoot her, and then my meter goes off. So let's play that again and see if you can pick up on those.
Yeah, so
and remember this. There was no female with his group that day.
Yeah, so I heard the female voice when I was listening. I picked up on that, so cool. I definitely heard the female voice.
Yeah, it's two males. That's all that's in this location.
Cool, I'm going to play it back.
Yeah.
No, but I'm starting to feel it.
Okay. So yeah. did you pick up on the male voice saying, shoot her?
It's very okay. – so the male voice, it's kind of like a high-pitched male voice, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like a shooter, like that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I heard the chirping shortly after that, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So my K2's going off. So, I mean, that has everything that you look for when you're trying to validate your evidence, right? You're trying – yes, you catch a voice, but – you're trying to validate that, right? Okay, so what equipment went off at the same time as you're hearing this voice? I didn't even know a voice was coming through, but I'm acknowledging, man, I'm feeling something. Like, my body's changing, right? And this is all happening right at the same time as we're picking up the craziest EVP I've ever caught in my whole career, right? And so that happened in 2017, right? So, and also to add to that, the shoot her, we believe that shoot her came through because my partner, like, he always travels when we go solo with a gun, right? Mm-hmm. So he had his gun on him that day. So for that spirit to come through and say, shoot her, just picked up more like, man, that's a great piece, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. You know, because the spirit is acknowledging, maybe he can see that he has a weapon telling us to shoot her. Man, I love that piece, right? So that happens in 2017. So we go back in 2024. We went last year. And I go up there and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get the same spirit to come back, either the female or the male, you know, so I keep asking different questions. So let's go ahead and play that next EVP of me coming back to the location.
Is it the, it's just, I don't want to give it away. So it just,
it's Brad not the video.
Huh?
It's not the video. It should be Brad.
There's the only other one named Brad. So
correct. Yeah.
I just don't want to give, I don't want to read it and give away anything, you know?
Yeah.
So let me, what did someone just say something? Oh, wait, you know what?
Did you have
it's
it on?
It's playing, but you guys can't hear it. I was like, wait, I'm hearing something that you guys aren't talking. What am I hearing? But yeah, my bad. I thought I was experiencing something right then. Okay, let me share. Window, media player, audio. Okay, here we go.
I am something.
Okay, now you can stop that one. So that one, so this is, so the video didn't come with this? You don't have the, so, yeah, so this is the audio for the video one. So is there another Brad that I?
I see it now. My bad. Okay. All right, let me bring this up. Screen. I wish there was an easier way to share stuff on here.
Share. Shoot, you do better than us. I would love to get to the point where we can see it on our same screen.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I want to make sure this is turned up. Yep.
Last time I was here, you told a woman to shoot her. Are you still here with us?
Mm-hmm. I heard it. I heard a whisper is like,
yeah. So that happened just last year, 2024. Right. But see, at that time I didn't know, like I caught it. Right. I figured that out later on. And then, so that happens. And then me, Frank, Jen, and another person on our team, we go outside to this outhouse, and this is where my last piece of the same investigation picks up. So I'm already
one more time though before we leave. Okay, just so
yeah,
I like
go
to
ahead
play it twice just so people can get a chance.
Yeah.
Last time I was here, you told a woman to shoot her. Are you still here with us?
Yeah, man.
That gives me chills, man. Because
yeah,
that
gives me chills too, man.
It just, you know, especially for me, because you know, I've been to that place so many times, and I know they know me, right? I know they know me, and you know, for a spirit to answer me, you know, knowing what I'm already talking about, and I'm not really explaining much. I'm just saying, last time I was here, you told a woman to shoot her. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And then they're acknowledging they know exactly what I'm talking about. And yeah, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And so that happened, which led up to
this last piece,
man. And yeah. This is a crazy one. Okay. It says the can't, so it can't play video.
It should be able to. Hold on. Let me try to open it in a different way. So what is it? So. Let's see. Let me open it with That's not a video either. Let me figure out how to open this video. It just keeps wanting to play audio. It's weird.
So yeah, it should be the
so I have two this dash, one. Yeah. That video plays.
Okay. Yeah, that video plays. Okay. Yeah. So all right. So if you can't get the video to play, I did send you
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I said I also sent you a still picture that Frank took on scene. It's just a still photo of what happened to me in the outhouse. And if the video won't play, we can play the audio to kind of let everybody know what happened to me. And then you can just play that still photo image, the JPEG that I sent, just to show everybody what happened to me.
Give me 1 second. I want to give this video to play. So
yeah.
Just to have patience. So I see it here. So it's showing up on Google Drive. So right. I should be able to open it in a web browser and just view it that way. What I'm going to try to do. Yes. All right. Cheating the system.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So let me share. There we go.
All there right. we go.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I am. I will. You're fine. Go back.
What's he turn on with the shirt up?
Here, give us a show.
You got
tons of scratches on your back right there. Like,
take a picture.
Yeah, there you go.
Grab the camera.
You cut. So, oh man, that gives me
my back. It's on fire,
dude. No, there was a lot of deep, deep dark.
Is trying to stop the video and I hit stop recording, but we should be back. I'm just going to cut it together, but it's okay.
All good.
Gosh, because I was so focused on that, and I was like, it just I could feel the tension in the video,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
man.
Sorry for stopping the video.
Yeah.
You're good.
Recording. Gosh.
You're good.
I was going to ask. Were you doing Estes method also at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We had somebody up there doing the Estes method, man. But what's even crazy? Oh, look at that, man. Oh, yeah. Dude.
That's the second time he's gotten scratched.
That is the second time he's been scratched.
I've been scratched twice at this location. Mm-hmm. One time in my forearm, right? And then one time on my back, right? But God, it looks like, I'm looking at it really good for the first time, but it looks like three lines are trying to appear, right?
Yeah.
One in the middle, one on the left, and that long one on the right.
So I see this one.
Yeah.
And then looks like one starting here.
Yeah.
And then it looks like this one is like.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like starts and stops and it starts.
Yeah. You know? Man, dude. It's, yeah. Every time I talk about it or I review it, man, it just gives me the chills, man. Because, I don't know if you've ever had a physical touch when you're on location, but for those who haven't, it's a really, really strong, burning, stinging sensation that I had. And it was like, man, it was like, imagine you have the worst sunburn and then a bee went right in the middle, right? You get stung. And I knew before they took a picture, I knew it. I mean, it had that type of pain. It's kind of like if you had a kidney stone, you know when you have a kidney stone again, right? Mm-hmm. I knew it. I mean, you didn't have to take the photo. I could have probably just said, nope, I already know what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Man, you know, and I keep thinking back on that. I'm like, you know, like, is it, you know, are they trying to get my attention for a reason? Like, you know, why? Like, this is the second time. You know, the first time was my forearm, right? And then my back. I don't know, man. I have so many questions unanswered, right? But I don't take nothing negative of it, right? I'm not terrified to go back, you know? Like, I'm going to go back. You know, I mean, if that's not a question. I'm going back. So it's nothing that's keeping me away. It's just a lot of, you know, questions, you know, that I'm never gonna get answers to. But yeah, it was a wild experience that whole night. Yeah. Man,
and you're right, we were doing the Essence method, so we had a guest investigator, Madison, with us that night, and she was her first investigation ever. She's up on the ladder and she had no idea what was going on until she took the headphones off and we said, hey, Brad had been scratched. So even though he had been scratched for, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds prior to that, she had no idea. But she had recorded in the Essence method, something is coming, Brad gets scratched, and then she says, oh, this is bad. And she did all that without even knowing that he had been scratched at that point, completely separate. Yeah. Brad, that's probably the third time, because you got scratched at the Meyer as well.
In Meyer's house, yeah.
The Meyer.
No. It was the one in... Tonopsy.
Yeah, it's called the Meyer.
Oh, it is called the Meyer. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's creepy, man. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't think, you know. No, I know I don't have no attachment, but I don't know why I'm vulnerable to physical touch. You know, I don't know why. You know, I've had scratches three times, you know, these are questions I want to know, like, why me? Why is it continually happening to me? Is it because, you know, I've been scratched once, so now spirits, you know, can sense that, and then they go out, you know, I don't know, man. I keep thinking about it.
I think it's really just kind of specific to the spirit and whatever energy, because at River Scene, Nancy got touched multiple times while we were there, not just once.
I invited that, though, because I was pissed because all you guys were having experiences and no one was messing with me. And I was like, where's everyone? Why is no one messing with me? And yeah. I think I opened that door and then it started. And it was, I would do it all over again. It was really, I got my hair touched twice and I was touched multiple times when we were in the room, but we'll get to that. Yeah,
she had a mimic follow her home from one investigation when she's home alone at the house, our house here, and she's hearing our daughter's voice, even though our daughter was at school.
Yeah.
So crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, you know, that's, you know, some of the best pieces I got. You know, those are really, really, like, man, class A EVPs, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Those, man, I said, I've been doing it 15 years and there's nothing that comes close to anything we've caught, right? Like, you, like I said, you have everything on that one EVP, you know, and then just to keep going back and being acknowledged that they know me, and yeah, so I can go on for hours about this spot, you know, it's my spot, but I guess I do have some type of connection to it. And, the spirits definitely let me know. They know when I go there.
Yeah. That's crazy. So I got a question. Do you guys ever use like spirit boxes, or do you just do like the traditional EVP method?
You know, we don't have really good spirit boxes. I would love to do spirit boxes, mm-hmm. but if you don't get a good spirit box, it's going to get messy. It's, you know, but no, like we have tried, but we don't have like a really good spirit box. Right. Yeah. So it just gets loud and it gets really messy. And so, you know, I want to bring a spirit box that, you know, that the loud, I'm just going to say the white noise, the loud yeah. noise is not very loud. It's a very small trickle, right? Mm-hmm. And you're able to pick up the voices, and you know, but we don't have that, right? But I would love to do that more. I think with the way we're able to catch EVPs, and I think it's because it's our investigation style. It's the way we investigate, you know, because we're finding out in live time if we got something, right? Because, you know, we're doing very short bursts. So we're able to, we can pound on this. We know something's here. Let's continue to go. So I feel like the way we investigate is why we're getting, you know, a lot more EVPs than usual. Because, you know, if we just let the recorder go for 8 hours and then don't even check it till a week later, I mean, how are you going to have your investigation continue 6-7 hours not knowing what's going on, right?
Yeah, like for sure.
You got to have a way to measure what's going on. And, you know, we don't have all the most high-tech equipment, so we got to do it the old-fashioned way, you know? It's like grinding, you know? You got to hit the grind. You got to get the EVPs. You got to, you know, do it 50, 60 times back and forth. Hey, is anybody here? Nope. Hey, anybody, you know, back and forth. And then you finally get something. Okay, now you know. Now you're going to pound at it. Keep going. And then you just start branching off. And, yeah, it's just the way we investigate, and we've been fortunate. But I would love to start bringing in a good spirit box.
Yeah. So my first experience with spirit boxes, I always thought, I was like, oh, these things are a joke, you know? It's just a radio station. Come on. And my first time using one, I was like, oh, crap, this is legit, you know? Because, I mean, like, I was telling him, which I don't know if I told you guys, I don't think you were on here yet, but when we were investigating at Elkmont, so it's in the Smoky Mountains, and there's a lot of folklore and legends. So there's this legend from the Cherokee of a witch called the Spearfinger. And so we were asking questions about Spearfinger, and we got, I mean, it was like, do you know about the Spearfinger witch? And without missing a beat, the spear box said, that's devil worship. And I was just like, what? I freaked out, you know, because, you know, you're supposed to not like jump to conclusions right away. Yeah. I was like, instantly, I was like, there's a devil worship. That's it. I was like freaking out. So, yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, I don't think I've ever listened to the radio and heard someone say that's devil worship, especially not maybe around Halloween or something, but not, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. I think it was in like, was it November or something? I can't remember when it was, but yeah.
We've got some really, really good responses off of using, you know, spirit box, you know, type things, but it's usually very specific to a question, because you're right. It's just searching radio frequencies to see. And, you know, sometimes we actually shared some of it on our podcast, sharing some good spirit box evidence. Actually one at Brad's favorite spot where somebody was doing it, and we asked how many people were in the room. And of course you do it quiet, so the person who's doing the, they don't know what's being asked. And he just, without hesitation, you know, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. And of course there was 5 people in the room. And later when we took the headphones off, we started talking to him about it. He said he heard different voices yelling at him, you know, 5, 5, 5, 5. So getting those type of intelligent responses. But, you know, going back to, briefly to go back to the people that go to a location and some people get activity and some don't, though they're not a one trick pony. What some investigators might do might stir up activity where some other group comes in with a different technique, does not work. We actually were not getting a whole lot at Sally House until we stumbled upon reading the history of the Sally House while we were in there. And then when we started to read the history of the Sally House,
that is when we really started to get some activity picked up. We didn't share the EVP tonight, but we have an EVP where Jen is reading the history of the house and something is talking over her saying, "I said stop." So there's different, like Brad was saying, you got to kind of go with what's going to work, because what may work at one investigation may not pick up activity at another.
Yeah, definitely. That's, I want to go to the Sally house sometime.
Come by and say hi if you do.
Yeah, I want to check it out, but it'll probably be one of those, nothing happens, I'll be there,
If you do, stop by.
Yeah, let us know. We'll go out there with you.
Yep, we'll go out there with you.
Awesome. That's something that I would like to do. I would like to come and, people who've been on the podcast come visit and, go on investigations. I think that would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are completely open to it.
Yeah. Dude, for sure. Did you want to go on to more of these EVPs you have here?
Yeah. I mean, we've got some good ones. Frank and Nancy have some wild ones. So, I can't wait for you guys, your audience, to hear what we got.
Definitely. I'm just going to keep playing them from the Google Drive because I think that's working. So what do you want me to do next? Which one would you like to go to?
You have River Scene.
River Scene.
So that's a Nancy one. So the one Nancy. That had Nancy's name.
So I have Nancy 1 and Nancy 2.
Yeah. We'll just start with 1. Yeah, they're one? Both okay. Similar ones. So she can probably walk you through it once she hears exactly which one.
Talk okay. A little bit about the place. The place is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really okay. Cool. You if I can remember this. Everything. Had a lot of history with that house.
And Civil War happened out in the front.
All right.
Can you say Nancy's name?
Yeah.
Can you say Nancy's name?
Hold on. That gives me, I keep playing over. That gives me goosebumps. That's seriously a creepy one.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I think that when he played it back, I was just like, ooh, okay. I think it was, I finally had it. I was like, I was sitting at kind of paint a picture. It was like a bed that was off to like the right side and like a bench with a fireplace and a couple of chairs in the room. And Brad, I think, was to my right and Frank was to my left. And I was in this chair by myself. So my back was to like the door, the entrance door. And when it was all happening. And while in the meantime, I think Brad was also asking those questions. And then when he played it back and he was like, okay, it said your name. And I was heard it. I was just like, oh, but I had also been, my hair was being touched. Like, I could feel someone messing with my hair. I felt like someone touched me on my knee. It got to a point to where I was just like, I just looked at them and I was just like, okay, guys, I got to get out of here. Like, it was too much. I couldn't, there was so much that was happening. I just felt like it was all focused on me and it said my name twice. And it was the voice that said it. I was just like, holy crap. This is like, it doesn't sound like a nice little Nancy. It was a, like a,
it's very, like, very creepy and breathy.
Yeah.
Nancy.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
And where we were was we were in River Scene Mansion, which is in Boonville, Missouri. It's a 12,000 square foot mansion. It has 14 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms, dates back to the 1800s. And the Civil War actually
happened in the front yard.
Happened in the front yard. So
and the river used to go actually right in front of the mansion.
Yep. The Missouri River. Mm-hmm. The guy that built it was a steamboat captain, yep. And he wanted the steamboat to stop along the way. So you walked out the front door, maybe 50 yards, and there was literally the Missouri River. Beautiful, really cool. Beautiful home. A lot of it is still standing today. A lot of the
renovations. They did a lot of renovations.
Right. But some of the original architecture is still there. Some of the original wood for the, stairwell and everything is there. So pictures up on the walls are authentic. The clothing that they have hanging on the walls, authentic from the family that lived there. Somebody did die in the house. We found out that they had 11 children, and one of their sons did die in the house, which is going to be Nancy's next story.
Mm-hmm. So is this the, hold on, I want to play this one more time.
Yeah.
Because it's so creepy.
Can you say Nancy's name?
Gosh, that is so creepy. Okay. So would this be Nancy 2?
Yeah, go ahead and do okay. Nancy 2. And I like this one because they're both different, right? And we caught like a breathy one and then we caught a monotone. So it was like, it's pretty cool. So yeah, we'll go with Nancy 2.
Okay.
Oh.
So this one, I was having a hard time hearing.
So it happens right around the 75% mark, right? Not, I would say around the 7 second. So focus around the 6-7 second mark.
Okay.
As a female voice.
Yeah, I heard it that time. Yeah.
Okay, you got that? So yeah, mm-hmm. It was yeah.
I'm gonna play it one more time. Definitely. And I will definitely boost the audio whenever I play that, whenever I edit. But yeah, that's crazy. So was that the same location?
Yes.
Okay. The same night?
Same night. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, I really felt like it was really hitting on me. Like I was like their focus. I don't know if it's because I kind of opened myself up, and the team that we investigated with, she had actually said that they were waiting for us. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like a good night. And it really kind of focused on, I felt like it focused a lot on me. I wasn't scared. The only time I really got scared and was uncomfortable was when we were in that room and that creepy voice said my name the way it did. Mm. That was when I really kind of was like, oh, okay, I got to get out of this room. Like I can only handle so much. And this was, I was kind of like at my breaking point. But Brad, did you send him the other one of
Noble's room?
Yeah.
The one I
have three Nancys.
Okay. Okay. That one's really cool.
Yeah. Let's give a little backstory on that one though.
Do you want me to play it before you give the backstory?
No, because I think it'll be better if I explain it first.
Okay.
So this was essentially the owner of the home. This was his master bedroom. But it was also Noble's room, which was one of the children's rooms, the son.
Noble's the one that passed away in the house.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a chair that's in that room that when Noble passed away, his mom sat in that chair essentially until she died. Because she was just devastated that he had passed away. Do you want me to tell him how he passed away?
Yeah.
Yes. So he had actually, there was in the upstairs, right outside of his room, essentially like the staircase. The staircases are like the railings low. Maybe that's how they did it back in the day. But he had like accidentally, we don't know how, he had fallen over the railing and fell and hit the steps and broke his neck and died. The backstory is he was engaged in the, him and the fiance got into an argument, and I don't know if she accidentally pushed him or she pushed him in anger, not meaning to, because he was a really tall guy too. And he just fell and died on like the fifth or sixth step by breaking his neck. So the chair has been in there the entire time. The owner that owns the mansion now has left it. So I was sitting in the chair with headphones on, listening to the Estes method. Brad is across the room, sitting in a couch. The owner is actually laying on his bed, and you were in the room too.
Sitting on a chair.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like saying things that I'm hearing that are coming through my headphones. And it's really, the timing of it's kind of crazy because I said it beforehand. And then there was an EVP that literally followed right after that. And it was answering a question that the owner had asked. And the timing of it was crazy because I said it because I heard it come through first. And then Brad caught it on an EVP. And I was just like, Oh my God, that's insane. It was really cool.
Gosh, yeah, that's crazy. This is a good one.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
I think you need to change because we can't hear it on our side.
Oh, you can't hear it. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. Let me fix that. Yeah, there's a, it says it's turned on. There we go. Let's try it now. Sorry.
Neville, was it you the other night in here? It's okay.
So around the 7 second mark again. Mm-hmm. So just focus around that.
Yeah, time. I heard it definitely, but I'm going to play it again just because I know what it, you know.
Neville, was it you the other night in here? It's okay.
And what he's asking is the a night or two before we got there when he was sleeping in that room, the owner of the house, something laid next to him and he could see the indention of the bed and then felt something next to him and he jumped up. Now he's sleeping in Noble's old room. So that's why he's asking, was that you the other night?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I love this stuff and like, I can put my, you know, I put myself in this situation like mentally when you guys are telling these stories and I'm like, yeah, I just imagine laying there and feeling an indention lay next to me. You know, I mean, I just, nope. All right. So, where are we going from here?
We just jump into Frank's.
Okay. So which one do we start off? Cause there's three here.
Okay. Let's go and I'm looking at the folder as we speak.
Okay.
I want to do the Mason in last. So let's go ahead and talk about just Frank EVP.
Okay.
Right. Let's just talk about have Frank just kind of lead you up to what was happening and then listen to his EVP.
Okay. So this was the Pythian Castle down in Springfield, Missouri. It's built in 1913, and it was built as a place for service members to go. It was an orphanage, and then the military took it over in the 1940s, and it became a POW camp for German soldiers, Israeli soldiers, Japanese soldiers. So if you go to the basement of this castle, there's actually the cells are still there where these soldiers were being held. So we take a trip to Springfield, Missouri. We go to the Pythian, and honestly, it was a mostly uneventful night. Mm-hmm. We caught one EVP earlier in the evening, just a couple of syllables of sound, something counting, and really didn't have a lot, but it was a cool place to hang out. So right before we start to pack up, I say, hey, Brad, let's go into this back room. Let's just run an EVP session real quick just to see if we capture. So this was about 1 o'clock in the morning, just about as we're wrapping up.
EVP session, Frank and Brad. First floor, Pythian Castle. This might be our last opportunity to talk to you guys. I had a good time with y'all. I know you came through one time. Can you do it again? Can you say my name? Do you know his name over here next to me? Can you say it?
You guys about peed your pants too.
I did.
So it's like the anticipation is palpable. I was like, waiting, when is it going to happen? You know? Yep.
And when you're sitting in this castle that you've been investigating for 6 hours and you're in this back bedroom or this back room, it's dark. Brad's asking these questions. It's very, very quiet. And then when he goes to play it back and then you hear your name being called out, I think I jumped up. You know, Brad, I said, Brad, what was that? And he says, I don't want to tell you. And I said, I think I heard it, Brad, play it again. And I heard it. And I start to walk off. Jennifer and Nancy come walking in the room. They scared the hell out of me. I jump again. I'm like, I'm good, guys. Let's go. We captured it. But if you want to play it again.
Yeah, I'll play it again. I think I got it queued up pretty close to it.
Do you know his name over here next to me? Can you say it?
Yeah, that's very creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whispers. So this is kind of funny. There's this comedian I heard recently. I cannot remember his name, but he was talking about his mother's a ghost hunter. And he goes, you know, it's a pretty funny story he tells. But he's like, but let me break it down EVPs for you. Let me break it down really, really simple. So ghosts are shy and they whisper into microphones.
Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah.
Well, then play this next one because this next one that we got for you.
Man. Yeah. This next one. Let me. Because I want to. Yeah, I'm going to save the video.
The video for last, right?
Video for last, right? Okay. So we can we'll just play the EVP, Frank EVP, and then the words, right? We'll play that one. This is just okay, so this was caught on my digital recorder, right?
Okay.
What's cool about this piece is we caught it on three different pieces of equipment. All, you know, in the same room, all, and it came through on everybody, you know, everybody, one camera, one digital recorder, and one lapel mic. So, yeah. So this is the EVP.
Awesome.
If that was a female voice earlier and I stay in this room by myself, do I have a chance to get lucky?
Oh my gosh, that's so clear.
So let me set the stage a little bit. This was taken just a few weeks ago up in Mason Manor, up in Iowa. It dates back to the early mid 1800s. It used to be a Civil War hospital. It was part of the Underground Railroad. It was a tuberculosis center. Today it is tuberculosis center for sick people. Today it's ran by the owners and it is a B&B. It's a bed and breakfast. So we rented out the whole place. We stayed. We went to every room. We investigated every room. We had good activity throughout the evening. And we got into a debate where we captured some EVPs. I thought it was a male voice. The rest of the group said, Frank, that's a female voice. I said, no, it is a male voice. They said, Frank, you're out of your mind. It's a female voice. I said, let's go back up to room number 8 and let's run another EVP session. We go up there. We're not capturing much. I'm laying on the bed. Other team members are scattered around the room. And because we had kind of stalled out, it was about 1 a.m. We hadn't had activity in a while. I get a little silly, which I'm embarrassed about. But that's why I asked the question, hey, if that was a female spirit earlier, you know, is there a chance I might get lucky tonight? Just being silly. I didn't know we were going to capture such a great piece of evidence. So as I'm asking, was that a female spirit earlier? Listen to what is talking over me.
Okay, one more time.
If that was a female voice earlier and I stay in this room by myself, do I have a chance to get lucky?
Yeah, so I heard it was. Yes, it was.
Yes, that's awesome. What we hear as well. And the second time, it almost sounds more forceful. So the joke that you just told about ghost whispering, this one was trying to be louder coming through, you know, the portal, the gateway. Yeah, that's probably, I think, one of the best EVPs we've captured.
Yeah, that is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. That.
And
that
the best thing is that, you know, that's talking over you.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So and then this is the video the one you're going to play. This is the video of this Frank. This was your was
the IR cam, probably
IR camera. Yeah. So he's just filming. So this is the video of us. We didn't even know we caught it, right? So this is the video of us before we knew we caught the video, or that we caught the EVP, and you can hear it come through on his camera.
Okay, I'm gonna play it.
That was a female voice earlier, and I stay in this room by myself. Wow.
Huh. Dang.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's the first time I've seen that.
I'm playing one time.
Yeah.
That was a female voice earlier. Can I stay in this room by myself? Do I have a chance to get lucky?
Wow.
That's crazy, man.
Gosh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. So it's been a trip, this ride, this ghost investigation's been a trip. We did a cemetery where we had an attachment that followed Brad and then also followed Nancy. I've been held down in bed by the sheets holding me down. I couldn't get up. Footsteps by things approaching me, you know, at home. So it's fascinating. We'll continue to do it. But at the same time, there's definitely risk that comes with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude, 100%. There. I mean, like I said, we had our own kind of things happen. There were, attachments and such. So, yeah, there's definitely a risk.
Yep.
Involved. You have to be very respectful when you go to these places. You don't can't go in there challenging or coming in there being disrespectful. You have to be very respectful because this is their area. You're coming into their home. It's not the other way around.
Yeah. So I am going to share this with you and get your opinions on something that I was talking about earlier. So hopefully you'll be able to hear this. So here we go. It'll take a second.
Are we supposed to hear him?
Are you can't hear him?
Yeah, no.
Oh, gosh. Okay, give me a second. For some reason, so YouTube is the worst about sharing audio. Let's see. You got it now.
Yeah.
You have it now? Okay.
Yeah.
Children died.
And I'm filming this, by the way, but you'll hear me when I freak out. Okay, here.
Okay. You said there's a Cherokee legend of the the witch or like a witch or something. What was it called?
Spearfinger
witch.
Yeah.
Does anyone know anything about a Spearfinger witch or any witches in this area? Could you please say witch?
That's devil worship. Did you hear this?
I heard it.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That
wow,
that still gives me
chills.
Yeah.
What do you know what type of equipment he was using? What was he holding?
So yeah, it's hold on, I have the same spirit box. It's here somewhere. I thought it was in that drawer. It's from I cannot think of the name of the company now. It's a red spirit box. They're very popular.
Is it the one that I got you from the Ghost Stop or something like that?
Is it Ghost Stop? Yeah, I think it is. That's who.
Okay. That's where I've gotten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Let me look it up. So you might have the same one, Frank?
I think we do.
She bought me one, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, shoot.
We've never tested it, though.
Oh.
You always forget to bring it.
Yeah, we'll bring it next time.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly who I ordered from Ghost Dog.
Because I liked the way he was doing it, right? And that's the way I want to do it. I don't want to do the spirit box where it's continually the noise. You turn off the noise. You talk. Yeah. Then you turn it on, and then you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay. So that's the one you have, Frank.
Yep. We have that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have this one. This is the same one I have too. And one thing, I think they have refurbished versions on here also. Okay. They're a little cheaper because I think I got mine cheaper than what this price is.
Okay.
And I want to say they have attachments now to they plug in that gets rid of the static, and it'll just have voices.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we need. But I mean, I still like the way Paul was doing it, right? But yeah. Oh man, that's what.
So what I like about that is when you're listening to that radio frequency, it's mm-hmm. gibberish. It's a third of a word.
Yeah.
But in that situation, we had a full sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find mine. That's just a mess of cables in that. I have so many cables.
I know you're talking about price, but mine was free. I got it as a gift.
Oh, so. Yeah. but yeah, it's a really cool thing. And you know, that's another thing, you know, with a phrase, it feels a little bit more legit than just a single word. But especially that investigation, we used that. Another weird thing that happened is, we had the REM pod, and I had just an SLS app on my phone, and I was using that, and I'm like, I don't know if these apps work or whatever. But it was weird that REM pod was going off, and I had the SLS, and it was like a tiny person, and you could see legs, arms, and it was like twirling on top of the REM pod. And it was that's crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it when you get things in combination like that. It helps. Yeah.
It kind of solidifies it.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, I mean, it's just, you know, like when one thing happens, but whenever you have more than one, it just, you know, makes it that more legit.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm always telling like Frank and everybody else on the team, you know, like when we catch something, you know, we got to listen to the before and the after, like you need to validate it. Right. And mm-hmm. There's different ways to validate it, but like you're trying to find that link that helps validate what we caught. Right.
Yep.
Sometimes you can't, sometimes you can't find anything else but the piece of evidence, but it's like the piece I showed you, the fender bender. There's a lot of validation happening all in that. And that's why that is going to be the top piece I've ever caught. You know, you have me filling the room, you know, you have my K2 going off, you know, we catch the voice, right? I mean, it was just, yeah. So validation is key. And you have to try to find those links when you catch pieces of evidence.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have a no whispering rule when we go out because we've shared evidence where we thought we captured an EVP and we've debunked it. It was somebody in our group doing a whisper, and a whisper will sound like an EVP. It really does. Yeah. So we have a no whispering when we're out on investigations. Just talk normal voice. Don't try to be quiet, especially during EVP sessions, just to completely eliminate that from being a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's why, you know, again, I don't do long EVP sessions, but that 45 seconds to a minute, nothing comes out besides who's asking questions. That is it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I was trying to find that little guy on the REM pod to show you guys. I can't. I have it, but it's not the one I was thinking of that's more clear. This is kind of looks like a blob almost.
Hold on. We share some really good coming up in season 3, some really good SLS footage of Brad Nancy in a dilapidated church right next to a cemetery, and they captured a spirit on the SLS. But what was most impressive to me about the footage they captured was they actually got the spirit in the SLS cam to follow their commands, not just once, but multiple times. Raise your right hand, raise your left hand, lower your right, lower your left. And the spirit did it on command.
So coming up in season three, we'll be sharing some of that.
It's usually awesome. Brad and I.
It's always Brad and Nancy running off doing something. Yeah.
We're always the ones that are.
I'm behind watching the cameras.
Yeah. So here's the. This is a. It's not the one where it looks like it's dancing, but I mean, I can't find that one because we did it a couple different times, but it kept like messing with the REM pod though.
And what is that?
That's a REM pod. And for some reason, it's just
that's just SLS, a distorted light that's coming through.
It's the SLS on my phone. You know, the SLS, it like supposedly, you know, tracks like the arms and legs of entity or whatever.
Yeah, I'm following.
But yeah, I mean, it was just weird because it's not, you know.
That's really cool. Is the REM pod going off though?
Not there, no. It did go off at one point, but yeah.
Huh, that was crazy.
Yeah. But this is that Elkmont place I was telling you about, which is
So this bizarre. Location has buildings that you guys can just walk through?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Bro, we don't have to pay or anything.
Here, I'm going to play this. I think this is where we get some knocks. And all of us, there was no one else there except for us. We're all in this building together. And there's four of us.
Oh, first time you really? Interesting. Yeah. John, are you here, bud?
Oh.
Is that you, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I get
to see you.
I get the SLS guy.
Yeah, we see you. What's up, man? Yeah, we see you. That's what's crazy. Up, buddy? He's like literally right here. Or here.
Because it's not from my shadow.
No, it's not.
It's outside it. Stop.
That's awesome.
See, I said stop. It was my phone going off.
I wasn't
and then
stop
it,
to you.
It never came back.
I was talking to my phone.
Yeah, his alarm was going
when
off.
I said stop, and the figure went away and never
Sean,
came back.
Sean, we thought we might have heard your name a couple times. Is there anyone else here with you, buddy? Could you
that's a good capture.
Yeah.
That's a good catch.
Yeah.
And then here's the knocks. Roll it back a little bit.
Did you hear that? Did you hit the wall?
Yeah. No, I heard something.
I heard
bang.
Something hit the wall, yeah.
I didn't hit the wall.
Me neither. That's why I shut up. It was like here, though.
Yeah.
Can you play that again?
It's going to knock again.
If that was you, could you please do that again for us?
That was it again?
Oh, yeah. On command, too.
Yeah. So wow. This whole place is very active. So the sad thing is, after Phil had his experience, his attachment that happened to him, he had a video because this was the first time we went. So we went back another time to investigate a year later, and that's whenever all that stuff went down when Phil got his attachment. And that video he put out on his channel. But after everything that happened to him, he completely deleted his channel. So all that evidence is completely gone. I think I shot some videos, but I was using a GoPro and it kept shutting down. You know, that happens when when there's paranormal stuff going on, you know, sometimes your equipment will shut down. So I couldn't get my video to work. I have some footage, but I don't have everything. But that's the night that, like I said, he got his attachment. We went into one of the cabins, and it was like everything just completely went silent. And these cabins are old. The windows are like very thin, and some of them are shattered. But we went inside this cabin, and it was like we walked into a soundproof room. That's how deathly quiet it was. I mean, you could hear your own heart beating. And then we went back out, and it was like everything just – sound came back.
Weird.
Did you have any issue? After you left, did you have any issues?
I think so because, I mean, I can't chalk it up to, you could chalk it up to just bad luck. But so I worked at a job for 25 years.
Yes.
And a month later, I got laid off. And then my wife's bank got bought out. And so she got laid off. And I'm like, what's the coincidence? I go here and then all this bad luck starts happening, you know? So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe, maybe not. I you know.
Yeah.
It's negative energy around some of these places. It can hover with you. Brad and I have experienced mm-hmm. that. We had a
yep. I'm kind of scrubbing through to see if I see anything else.
Yeah.
Note. Here, I'll show you guys what the town looks like.
So did he just come out and just, was he just, did he, when he felt like he had an attachment, did he like vocalize that to you? Or was he just kind of like a recluse and just like didn't talk about it and he kind of guys like pulled it out of him? Or how did you guys come to that?
So he told me about it and I don't want to go into too much of a story because, you know, it's sure. not my place to share it.
Absolutely.
But so he investigated the Huckamuck Swamp and the Bridgewater Triangle like exclusively. And eventually, I mean, he would come down here and visit me and we'd do stuff together. So mm-hmm. what happened was it was during Halloween, I think it was 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, he was going to go every week of October, every day to investigate the Huckamuck Swamp. And that was right after he got back from Elkmont. And so he started going there and then everything just kind of started intensifying more and more and more until, okay. yeah, all the stuff that happened with him. So I don't want to, you know, like I said, sure. I don't want to go into that
yeah. on air,
but if you, I'll play this real quick and you can see what Elkmont actually looks like. It's really cool. That's not it. Here we go.
So we're here at a really cool place. It's called Elkmont. It was a ghost town at one time, but now they've started renovating the cabins. And it's someplace I've always wanted to go. And today we decided to come up here. And I'm just really excited because it looks like it's going to be awesome. Even though the cabins are renovated, you know, still a lot of history here. And there's some just really cool stuff. And, you know,
let me fast forward a little bit.
Architectural. See,
these are the cabins.
Probably over the years have sank to one side, you know.
But you can see they've like renovated some of it. I'll just scrub through some stuff so you can see kind of the area.
Yeah, I felt like it feels like you could close your eyes and then open them and just walk through time.
Here?
Yeah, like you could.
And just but I mean, it's a really cool place. There's like when, I said six cabins, but I think altogether there's like maybe 12 or 13 cabins.
Are they renovating so people can stay there?
Not stay there, no. Just to, like, preserve it, like, for okay. historic purposes. But, yeah, it's a really cool place.
Man, that is a cool
and,
place.
There's a campground right next to it, like, in walking distance. So you can actually camp out there, and you could walk up to Elkmont. But also there's a cemetery. Part of Elkmont too. But yeah, I think I show the cemetery in a bit. But I mean, there's all these like this is a little tiny cabin.
Like everything's tiny in here.
But I don't know if it was like a playhouse for kids or something.
Right.
But yeah.
So to this day, you can go there and just walk around. And it's open. Like, do they have hours? Like,
nope.
Like, no. Dude, no I've already. I looked it up while you were scrolling through this thing. It's 13 hours from us, but it's definitely something that. It's wow.
No.
That's like right up my alley, man.
Yeah, I mean it's awesome. And then Brad's at night, it's even. You know, it's very spooky at night, as you can see in these videos.
Brad's the road warrior in the group. We did that 4.5-hour drive to Iowa, and I was going nuts.
Yeah. But, yeah, this, I mean, it's just a really cool place. And also there is Cade's Cove, which I don't know if you know anything about Cade's Cove. You can look that up also. It was a community. There's churches there, like... There's at least three churches and three different cemeteries and then like little communities that are scattered throughout this area. And so I think it's a 3.5-mile loop that you can drive around the whole area. But there's been
good Brad.
This place is super weird also. there's a lot of young kids graves here. I know it was back in the 1800s and, you know, doctors weren't, medical care wasn't as great as it is now, but it seems like there's a lot of kids, you know, seems like it should too many kids, you know, to be honest. But yeah, it's a pretty cool place. Like they have all these like barns and stuff
back in
the day.
That's a cool spot.
Yeah. But this place you can't go at night is the only thing. I've heard you can get, this is, Cage Cove. I've heard you can get permission to go in, but you have to like ask the park rangers and stuff permission.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really cool. Let's see. I guess that's it. That, this was from how long ago did, was this? 2 years ago. So,
okay. All right.
I got $5 that say I get a text message from Brad to the group tonight saying February 20th, the weekend of, we're all going to, blah, blah, blah. It's already booked. Who's in?
But there's a lot of videos out there about Elkmont.
Okay.
If you want to check it out, this Black Mass Paranormal is one I highly recommend. He's a local guy, and he does a lot of cryptid stuff now, but he also used to do other things. But also, have you ever heard of Dennis Martin, the missing 411 case?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so he's a kid. I think it was in the 70s. Do you know about the missing 411 phenomenon?
No, I don't know that.
I haven't heard that.
Why do I hear like crickets?
Like buzzing? I don't know.
I've been hearing that.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's gone.
Now it stopped.
What? That is bizarre. It sounded like I was outside, like in the woods.
It was getting that's what
I was thinking. Yeah. Sound like crickets outside.
Yeah, but I mean, I shut the video off before, and it was still going.
It was getting louder and louder and louder.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's bizarre, dude. Anyways, so Dennis Martin, he disappeared, and it's close to where Cades Cove is. Like him and his family are on a hike. The kid walked around a bend in the trail, and the parents walked up, and he was just gone, just vanished. And there's numerous disappearances that happen like that in the Smoky Mountains. It's kind of crazy, but the missing 411 cases. I don't know. Just look it up. There's a lot of cases like that in national parks, but Smoky Mountains is one that's they attribute it to like possibly Sasquatch or Bigfoot like abducting kids.
Okay.
And then I think there's one case where I think Dennis Martin, I think his body was found, like up on a mountain, like 20 miles away or something like that. There's no way. And I think he was only 5 years old, three to 5 years old. And there's no way he could have traveled that far, you know, up on these treacherous mountains. I mean, a kid. So yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Was he found alive?
No, probably not. He was deceased. But yeah. It's
what made them look
the Smoky Mountains are very weird.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. And like I said, I would be happy to show you guys around because it's, and also another thing, we have Oak Ridge in this area. I don't know if you know about Oak Ridge.
Yeah.
It's where they developed the atomic bomb. And also they have a Large Hadron Collider there, which is, I think it's almost the same size as CERN's. And in the news article, that came out, one of the scientists said that they were opening portals to other dimensions. And then like a few weeks later, she had to redact it, say, oh, I was just joking around. Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a equivalent to CERN anywhere. I thought that was a unique, where is it at?
It's in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I'm going to look that up. Okay.
It's not as large, but it is a Large Hadron Collider.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it's right. It's kind of weird around here because I am about, I guess, 30 minutes from Oak Ridge. But sometimes a lot of people report hearing blasting sounds. And it sounds like it's coming from underground. And a lot of people think that they're expanding the Hadron Collider to be larger. And, you know, they're digging under the ground.
Like to this day? Yeah. So maybe.
That's one of the conspiracies around here.
Yeah.
It's a weird place, man. Weird place.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well. Yeah. Well, guys, I think we should wrap it up. I think we've been going for a while, but man, I would love to have you guys back on because it seems like you guys are investigating all the time, and it'd be great to catch up again after you do some more investigations.
But
man, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed meeting you all, and hopefully we can get together and do some investigating soon.
Yeah,
right. Jason, this has been great. Thank you for having us on. We'd love to come back. We have lots more evidence we could be sharing. So
awesome.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man. So if you would, before we go, just tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, you can go to our Instagram, paranormal.patrol, our TikTok, Haunted Origins, Paranormal Patrol Podcast, and our YouTube channel is Haunted Origins, Paranormal Patrol. Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Make sure you go like, follow, subscribe to all their videos, and like, follow, and subscribe AFK Discussions. But guys, we will see you again soon, and anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here?
I think we covered it.
Man. Nope. I think we're good.
All right, guys. See you later. Peace.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. See ya.